God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. As we read 1 Corinthians 13, it's a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you this time on A Woman's Work. You've heard the expression, a woman's work is never done. I think it starts, man works from dawn till set of sun, but woman's work is never done. And most of us would agree with that. I would also say that woman's work is never noticed unless it's not done. I'm referring, of course, to what is traditionally called woman's work. Housework, dirty work, humble work. But that word dirty, let's think about that one. Is women's work dirty? Well, it certainly does involve a lot of dealing with dirt. Dirty dishes, dirty floors, dirty counters, dirty carpets, dirty diapers, you name it. Wherever there's dirt, it's a good thing if there's also a woman around to deal with it. But a lot of the world's work involves dirt. Certainly isn't just women who have to deal with dirt. But if you work with dirty things, does that make it degrading or disgusting or dehumanizing? Does it make you dirty? Well, it may make you physically dirty. You've got to go and wash your hands. You've got to wear your old clothes in order to do some kinds of work. But that doesn't make you a dirty person. And whether or not it's degrading and disgusting and dehumanizing, I think, depends upon your attitude. There are a whole lot of things which I would do for love, which I wouldn't do for money. Have you heard people say, I wouldn't do that if you paid me? Well, there are a whole lot of things that I wouldn't do if you paid me, but I'd do them because I love somebody. If you love, you'll do anything. Isn't that true? Think of the people that you love most in all the world. Wouldn't you do anything in the world for them? Wouldn't you make any sacrifice? Wouldn't you inconvenience yourself to any length if you could make it more convenient for them? Now, for whom will you do anything? I would hope that your answer would be, first of all, for Christ. Whatever He asks me to do. Just a few days ago, my daughter and her husband and her five children were visiting us in Massachusetts. They live in Southern California, so you can imagine they don't get to Massachusetts very often, but we were having a family reunion with my side of the family. And to have nine people crowded into our relatively small house, we have three bedrooms, meant that there was a lot of work to do, and I spent very little time at my desk. I felt as if I was working all day long, doing housework, cooking, cleaning up, washing the dishes, making beds, straightening up, picking up, straightening up, picking up, picking up, picking up. I remember how my husband, Ad, used to say, he would quote that word from Paul, which certainly he was yanking out of context. Paul said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. And my husband used to jokingly use that, referring to how when his three daughters were small, he spent his life picking up the roller skates and the dolls from the stairs, putting away childish things. Well, I did a lot of that last week when my grandchildren were there. Did I mind? Not in the least. I was thrilled to have the opportunity to do it. They say that there are two kinds of grandmothers, the exhausted ones and the lonely ones. Well, most of the time, I'm a lonely one, so I was happy for the chance to be an exhausted one for a change. So I worked all day, every day, and I did it for love. It so happens that I'm one of those very peculiar women who actually loves housework. You may say, well, It's easy for you to say you love housework because you get to do a whole lot of much more interesting things. And I'm not going to deny that. But there have been times in my life when I really haven't done the interesting things. A good many years of my life, I was not writing books. I was not traveling around. I was not speaking and staying in nice hotels and being taken out to nice meals, which are a part of my life now. But I love making order out of chaos. I love tearing into some kind of a mess and making harmony and order out of it. But for many of you, I'm sure it seems as though all you do is housework. And you really don't find very much joy in that work. Certainly nothing that you could call radiance or glory. And last week, I said to my daughter, would it be okay with you if I ask Elizabeth, who's 9 years old, to sweep the kitchen for me? And Valerie said, by all means. And so I called Elizabeth and I said, would you come, please, and sweep the kitchen? I have to hand it to her that she came. I also have to say that she wasn't smiling. She looked quite grumpy, in fact, and she said, yes, ma'am. They used to live in Mississippi, so they say yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, like good Southerners. So I gave her the broom, and I showed her where to begin, and she started to sweep. I could see that she was doing it half-heartedly. She wasn't really doing it with any vigor or joy. And so while she was sweeping, I was standing at the kitchen peeling onions or something, and I said, you know, Elizabeth, I know that you don't really love a job like this. I appreciate your doing it for me, and I hope you'll do it because you love me. But I also hope that the day will come when you really will find out that it's fun to get the dirt up. It's fun to make a room look nice for the sake of other people. When it's your own house, I hope you'll really enjoy it. And I think most of us women would say that it's one thing to bring order in your own house for the people that you love most of all. You wouldn't want to have to clean somebody else's house all the time. And maybe that's the job that some of you have. And I want to tell you what I think transforms even that kind of a job, even the dirtiest job that you may be doing for people that you don't know at all. I think of those women that I see in the airports who clean the restrooms. So many of them foreigners who don't speak English. I think of what we would probably call the most humble, perhaps degrading, low-paid jobs. And I see how many of them do it with enthusiasm, with vigor. And I marvel at that. I don't think it's an easy thing to do. But one thing that does make it much easier, much more pleasant, much more joyful, is to do it for someone you love. And if you're doing it for people that you don't know, you can do it for Jesus. You can do it because you love him. There isn't any glory or radiance in the onions themselves that you're peeling, or in the diapers themselves that you're washing, or in the dishes that you're loading into the dishwasher or washing by hand. That's not where the glory and the radiance is. That comes because of your attitude. You do it for love. Paul said, whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God, even the humblest job. When you're doing those humble jobs, maybe you're thinking of how lovely it would be to have a career type of job. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be the chief executive officer of a big, wealthy corporation? Put on your makeup in the morning and know that it would more or less stay there until you come home in the evening. You're not going to end up with applesauce in your hair and milk on your best dress. You're not going to spend the day picking up and cleaning up and wiping up. You're going to be doing a clean job in a nice, cool, air-conditioned, elegant office. And so your dreams go on about glory and radiance. But you know, I saw a special on television that Jane Pauley had where she had some women who had had that type of job, chief executive officers, corporate lawyers, other women who were making a lot of money, tell of their experience in that world. It was not a parade of happy faces. These were women without exception who testified that the glory was not there, that the fulfillment that they had given up motherhood in order to find was elusive. And these women had decided to go back home and have babies. One woman, who had had a very good job and was now in her 50s, had gone to become a nanny because she said, you know, there's nothing more fascinating than children. Again, I say to you, don't let the world squeeze you into its own mold. Don't be enticed by the image of the woman with the attaché case, the Wall Street Journal in the other hand, the phone on the mahogany desk, the classy corporate office. Is that where it's at? If that's the place to which God has called you, then you do that job for Him, just as you would do the job in the kitchen. For most of us, life involves different kinds of things, different kinds of work, some that we might choose naturally, some that we wouldn't. But if we do it for Him, it's transformed. Make it an offering, every task, the kind you like and the kind you don't like. Do it for Jesus. There's an old hymn that has this stanza. If on our daily task our mind be set to hallow all we find, new treasures still of countless price, God will provide for sacrifice.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. This is Joy Raley, inviting you back for more encouragement and challenge with Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.